If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse number 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her privately or quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. The title of my message this morning is Why We Need a Little Christmas. Why We Need a Little Christmas. How many have heard that song? You familiar with that song? We need a little Christmas. We need a little Christmas now. I did a little research on that. That came from the 1966 Broadway musical MAME. Some of you may have seen videos of that. The song was first performed in that musical by Angela Lansbury. And in the musical, the song is performed by MAME. It takes place in the 1920s, the late 1920s, and the song is performed in the musical by MAME after she lost her fortune in the Wall Street crash of 1929. She decides that she and her loved ones, quote, need a little Christmas now to cheer them up. And the song, of course, was covered. It was recorded many times. One of the notable ones is by Johnny Mathis. How many have heard Johnny Mathis's version of We Need a Little Christmas Now? You may be familiar with some of the words. Haul out the holly, put up the tree before my spirit falls again. Fill up the stocking, I may be rushing things, but deck the halls again now. For we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Candles in the window, carols at the spinet. For those of you, spinet is a type of piano. Yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. It hasn't snowed a single flurry, but Santa, dear, we're in a hurry. And the song goes on and on again to emphasize, and we need a little Christmas right this very minute. We need a little Christmas now. Well, sometimes we feel like that, and that's not a spiritual song, but it's a song that expresses the heart of someone who is down. Feels like they need a little pick-me-up. Well, in the title of my message, Why We Need a Little Christmas, I'm not so much emphasizing, the decorations. We have beautiful decorations, don't we? And I love the decorations as much as you do, and the trappings of the season, the carols, the get-togethers, although they've been cut down this year. But I enjoy all the trappings of Christmas as much as anyone. I was in a store the other day and heard somebody singing. It was kind of a rock and roll version of a Christmas carol, but talking about the Lord coming to earth I said, man, you don't hear that in public any other time but Christmas. So I enjoy all that. But when I say why we need a little Christmas, I'm talking about more than the trappings of Christmas. We need the Christ of Christmas. We need to focus on the gift that our Heavenly Father has given us. And in this dark world, and it seemed to get a little darker this year in many, many ways, I don't have to tell you why. You know all that. But we need a focus on this Christmas season. Some may say, Pastor Tim, things are so bad in the world. You know, it's hard to celebrate. I submit to you, we need to celebrate the Christ of Christmas now more than ever. You know, in our passage, there was someone who needed Christmas. His name was Joseph. Joseph was probably a young man, maybe his late teens. And he was betrothed in marriage to a young woman named Mary. She was probably a bit younger, perhaps as young as 13 or 14. And in that day and age, betrothal, it was not formally a marriage, but it was more formal than an engagement period would be nowadays. Betrothal was a legal status in which a man and a woman were pledged to be married to one another. It had legal standing. They could even be referred to as husband and wife, even though they had not officially been married and had no sexual union. They had a legal status. And when Joseph found out that his betrothed was expecting a child, this was a scandal. And he was heartbroken. He was hurting. Can you imagine? The only conclusion he could come to was the one that anyone would come to, right? That she had been unfaithful to him. And so his heart was broken. And this was a major, major incident. And he had a couple of options open to him. He could publicly divorce her. And yes, with that legal status of betrothal, you would use the term divorce. It was a public proceeding, a legal proceeding. Or it says here that he could divorce her quietly or privately. That is, end the legal relationship so as not to potentially expose her to public ridicule, or even if the law was strictly followed, although it wasn't too often in New Testament days, she could be subject to even execution, stoning, if it was deemed that she had sinned in this way. But Joseph wanted to take the least private way out of this, but he was hurting. And you know, I can't help but relate that to people who are hurting at Christmas. It seems like though it's a joyous time, and it is, and should be, yet it seems like a lot of the hurts, and especially this year, bubble to the surface, don't they? And we need Christmas. We need the Christ of Christmas. Christmas literally means a celebration of Christ. We need to celebrate the greatest gift ever given. I want to share with you this morning from this story of Joseph and the angel's appearance to him, three reasons we quote-unquote need a little Christmas. The first is this. It's that Christmas brings God's presence. Christmas brings God's presence. The scripture says an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now, the word angel in the original Greek is the word angelos. It literally means messenger. It literally means messenger. And so at times in Scripture, the word can be used of an ordinary human messenger, but at times we deduce from the context that the messenger indicated is a heavenly messenger, as was the case here. And Joseph went to bed tired, hurt, confused, probably angry. And in the midst of this time, a messenger from Almighty God comes with a message for him. You know, I have found that at the loneliest, most difficult times in my life, what a blessing it was to experience the presence of God. Because when Joseph experienced a visitation from an angelic messenger, that was tantamount to experiencing the presence of God. God had come into his situation. I said this before, our faith is the only one in which God comes to us. Every other religion, man is searching for God. But our God came to us. And God, in the form of his messenger, came to visit Joseph. You may be here this morning and you may be experiencing anxiety or hurt or confusion or just having a tough time. How many know it's at the toughest times of our lives that God wants to come into our situation? Hallelujah. You know, loneliness is a growing problem in our society. A study by the American Council of Life Insurance reported that the most lonely group in America are college students. Can you believe that? Next on the list are divorced people, welfare recipients, single mothers, rural students, housewives, and the elderly. To point out how lonely people can be, Charles Swindoll mentioned an ad in a Kansas newspaper. It said, "I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. Swindoll said, "That sounds like a hoax, doesn't it?" But the person was serious. You may wonder, did anybody call? You bet they did. It wasn't long before this individual was receiving 10 to 20 calls a day. The pain of loneliness was so sharp that some were willing to try anything for a half hour of companionship. Christmas brings God's presence. About halfway through a PBS program on the Library of Congress, Dr. Daniel Borstein, the Librarian of Congress, brought out a little blue box from a small closet. And the label on the box read, "Contents of the President's Pockets on the night of April 14th, 1865. These were contents from the pockets of President Abraham Lincoln. Since, of course, Lincoln was assassinated that night, every viewer's attention was seized by him bringing out that box. And so he proceeded to pull out the contents of the box. It had a handkerchief embroidered A. Lincoln. It had a country boy's penknife. It had a spectacles case repaired with a string. It had a purse containing a $5 bill. I doubt Lincoln's picture was on it, but... And it had some old, worn newspaper clippings. The clippings were concerned with the great deeds of Abraham Lincoln. And one of them actually reports a speech by a man named John Bright, which says that Abraham Lincoln is one of the greatest men of all times. Now, we consider that common knowledge in our day and age. In most polls, Lincoln's voted the greatest president ever. But the world in that day and age, 1865, that wasn't the consensus. Lincoln was hated by many, criticized mercilessly during his actions or because of his actions during the Civil War. And it's very interesting to consider who the man we consider to be the greatest president of our history, sitting by candlelight at night, being encouraged by newspaper clippings that he kept in his pocket. You see, everyone needs encouragement. Everyone needs something to lift their spirits. Let me tell you, the greatest thing that can lift your spirits and mine is the presence of Almighty God. Amen. Emmanuel, God with us. And there are situations in life, you know this, whether or not you and I are surrounded by other people, There are situations in life in which we feel so alone. You ever feel alone? You may have loving family and friends and acquaintances around you, but the things that you have to deal with are things many times that no one else can deal with, right? You feel, I'm going through them alone. I have to go through it alone. No, you don't. Almighty God is with you. And so we need a little Christmas right now because we need to be reminded that God is with us. He came to this earth to remind us that we are never, ever alone. And that goes beyond the Christmas season. That's 365 days a year and 366 on leap year. Amen.
Amen.
When you leave here today, when you go face the world today or tomorrow, this week, into the new year, and you face things that make you feel alone, remind yourself that God is with you. He said He will never leave nor forsake you. We need a little Christmas because a Christmas brings God's presence. What's the second reason we need a little Christmas? Well, it's because Christmas imparts God's peace. It says the angel appeared to him, to Joseph, and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, as I said, had plans. He was going to end the relationship. But the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Now, I've said this many times before. We all have different levels of, we all have different things that trigger a fear response, don't we? And what may make you fearful or anxious might not make me fearful or anxious. And vice versa. But all of us, I don't care how cool, calm, and collected we think we are, have things which bring fear into our lives. Right? Is that right? What's going to happen? Whether we voice it, whether we acknowledge it to others or even ourselves, or we don't, we have things that bring fear into our lives. And a lot of times we don't really like, I've said this before, we don't like other people telling us how to feel. Don't be afraid. Husbands, want to get a great reaction from your wives? Say something like this. Don't feel that way. That goes over really, really well, doesn't it? Don't tell me how to feel. And yet the angel, the messenger from God says, don't be afraid. There are several fear nots in the Christmas narratives. Luke 2, 10 and 11, the fear not of salvation. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Brother Dave preached from that last week. Then there's the fear not of the humanly impossible. In Luke 1, the angel said to Mary, fear not, Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Then there's the fear not of unanswered prayer. In Luke 1:13, fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call him John. And then the fear not of this passage. Fear not, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife. Fear not. Christmas brings the peace of God which passes all understanding. Amen. Jesus was called the Prince of Peace. Heard a story about a preacher's family that had started putting up a nativity scene in their front yard. And all the family members were carrying out the little statues to put in the nativity scene. And finally, everything was in place. Mary and Joseph, the manger, the baby, the angels, the shepherds, the barnyard animals, the wise men, even though they weren't there at the time. Hate to burst your Christmas bubble, but they came a little later. But all the animals, all the statues were in place. And then little Scott came out carrying one of his favorite toys. The figure of Tyrannosaurus Rex, king of the dinosaurs. It was one of those plastic inflatables And so before his parents knew anything, little Scott had inflated his plastic dinosaur and set it up in the nativity. It was the biggest thing there. It towered over everything else. And Dad said to him, Scott, I appreciate that you want to contribute to the nativity scene, but you know, dinosaurs don't belong in the nativity. Dinosaurs were many years before Jesus was born, and they just don't belong there. But little Scott insisted, and so parents relented. And when neighbors drove by that nativity scene, they would see the dinosaur. You ever seen that? I haven't. But then the dad said, you know, as we stood back and looked at it, we realized maybe the dinosaur says more than we realized. Because over each of us, there is this menacing character that threatens to rob us of all of our joy and our peace and our cheer. But Christmas reminds us that the baby in the manger is stronger than all the dinosaurs in our lives and stronger than all the monsters in our lives. And that God has brought us peace through the person of Jesus Christ. During this Christmas season, you may feel like there's some dinosaurs, you know, or some monsters or something hulking over your life. And you know, when we have a fear of something or when something causes us anxiety, it seems to loom to gigantic proportions, doesn't it? When you have a problem that's not going away, when you have an issue in your life, it becomes the biggest thing in your life, doesn't it? It towers over everything in your life. It consumes your waking moments. And it threatens to overwhelm you like the dinosaur would overwhelm the nativity scene. But I'm here to tell you that the Christ of Christmas has come to bring us peace. No matter what the monsters are, the dinosaurs are, the worrying situations are in your life or mine, Jesus has come to bring us peace. Hallelujah. It's easy to say we have peace when there are no storms in our lives, when there are no monsters, when there are no problems. But He brings us peace in the midst of the storm. He brings us peace in the midst of the problem. And whatever you're experiencing today, whether you're here in the sanctuary or watching us online, whatever you are experiencing today, I want to challenge you to tap into the peace that comes with the Christ of Christmas. Christmas, the Christ of Christmas brings peace that passes all understanding. And He will protect you and He will bring you out to the other side of your trial. Hey, I'm like you. When I have something looming and something, a problem, and I don't immediately know how to solve it or feel like I can't solve it, man, I get anxious. Okay, full disclosure. And I you know what? I've said this before. When it comes to a head, pretty much every time the problem gets solved, and I realize that it wasn't as big a monster, so to speak, as I thought it was initially. You ever experienced that? What would it be like if when the problem landed, when things first started to happen, we immediately began to tap into that peace and say, Lord, I believe whatever is in my life, You're going to bring me through it. And let me tell you, when we make a conscious attempt to do that, we will receive the peace Almighty God. How many have experienced that? You know what I'm talking about. Christmas imparts God's peace. The third reason we need a little Christmas is that Christmas reveals God's plan. Christmas reveals God's plan. The angel said to Joseph in verse 20, what is conceived in her, meaning Mary, is from the Holy Spirit. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. This was so critical. We've been doing in our study, and if you haven't joined us the last couple of Wednesday evenings, the recordings are there. Let me encourage you. We're doing the study, The Case for Christmas. Lee Strobel, a former investigative journalist who was an atheist, used his investigative skills to investigate the claims of Christianity, the virgin birth, and all the things that went with it in order to debunk it and end up becoming a Christian. And we're studying that. Look on our Facebook page. And we've been talking about this, that the Holy Spirit said would overshadow Mary. And so this child would be conceived by the Holy Spirit and would be protected from the sin nature. It would be the holy, sinless sacrifice for our sins. Galatians says that Christ was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I've said this before. You know, the plan of redemption was not God's plan B. Not something hastily thrown together. From the very beginning, way back in Genesis 3:15, God said that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. That was a messianic prophecy, a prophecy about Christ. And so it was a plan from the foundation of the world that Christ would come and would be the sacrifice for our sins. God had a plan. How many know God always has a plan? And when I say always, I mean always has a plan. And here's what we need to understand. This, up until this angel appeared to Joseph, this pregnancy of Mary's, in Joseph's mind, and the minds of perhaps many others, this was a catastrophe. Am I right? This was a disaster. No wonder Joseph was heartbroken. This was about the worst possible thing that could happen. But once he and they understood that this was God's plan, everything changed. Literally, everything changed. This disaster, this catastrophe became a thing of beauty. It was revealed to be God's plan. It was by design. And you see, that's how it is in our lives. So many things come into our lives and things take place. Sometimes of our doing, but often not of our doing. Sometimes of the doing of others, sometimes just because that's life. And our reaction is, this is a catastrophe. This is a disaster. This is the worst possible thing that could happen. But it's a beautiful thing to see how God takes that supposed catastrophe, that supposed disaster, and he works out a beautiful plan. Have you experienced that? Have you seen God do that? I'm not saying he brings good in spite of it. I'm saying through what we think is a disaster, God brings about something of beauty. And so Christmas reveals to us that the supposed catastrophes and disasters in our lives can be used of God to bring about something beautiful in our lives. The story was told of an artist who was painting the interior of a famous cathedral. And he was working while standing on a swinging scaffold far above the floor of the cathedral. And one day when he had finished detail on which he had spent several days of painstaking effort, he stopped and began to appraise his work. And he got lost in what he was looking at, and he began to move back slowly just to kind of get a wider perspective. And because he was lost in what he was looking at, he didn't realize he was moving back near the end of his scaffolding. And another step or two, he would have stepped off and fallen to his death. And as he was stepping back, one of his assistants was there, saw what was happening, quickly took a brush and put a brush stroke over his masterpiece. The artist was horrified, and he stepped forward and said, "What have you done?" And then when the assistant explained why he did that, the artist's attitude went from anger and bewilderment to joy and gratitude. Because what he thought was a disaster was a plan to save his life. Let me tell you something. Things come into our lives we would never ask for, we would never plan for. And sometimes we ask the question, God, why, sovereign God, have you allowed this into my life? And we just, for the life of us, we can't figure out why. But you know what I've learned a long time ago? What I found to be true, and I have to remind myself of it. Hopefully you found this to be true too. God's ways are higher than my ways. God's thoughts are beyond my thoughts. And when I, for the life of me, can't conceive why he would allow a seeming disaster into my life, I know that he always has a plan, and his plan is perfect. God has a plan for your life. If you're here in the sanctuary today, if you're watching online, let me tell you, God has a plan. Yes, I know there have been missteps. There have been detours. We make mistakes. We get off track. Things happen that make us seem that God's plan can never be fulfilled. But let me tell you, God has a plan. God's plans are always good plans. And he will bring them into fulfillment. I know it's hard to deal with loss. It's hard to deal with difficulty. But Christmas reveals to us that God has a plan. Just like the seeming disaster of Mary's pregnancy turned out to be a wonderful thing because it was part of God's plan. The seeming disasters in your life can be turned around or brought to their fruition because God has a plan. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe God has a plan for your life? Conclusion this morning, I want to share with you a quote that I came across. It says, "The message of Christmas is that God intrudes upon the weak and the vulnerable. And this is precisely the message that we so often miss. God does not come to that part of us that swaggers through life confident in our self-sufficiency. God leaves his treasure in the broken, fragmented pieces, places of our life. God leaves his treasure in the broken, fragmented places of our life." This morning, we need a little Christmas. Because Christmas brings God's presence. Christmas says, "You are not alone. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Say, "Sometimes I don't feel his presence." Nevertheless, his word stands. Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. Christmas imparts God's peace. Christmas deals with the monsters in our lives. The things that cause us fear and anxiety. He comes and he speaks peace into our situation. The Prince of Peace has come. Thank God for his peace. And Christmas reveals God has a plan. God has a plan. We may not understand it. We may not be able to conceive how it will work out for our good. But we need to trust in him. Amen. God has a plan.